Let's pray together. Father, we pray to see Jesus. We ask you to open our eyes, open our hearts to receive him. May we see him clearly and love him more dearly. And may we become more and more like him. We ask for his sake. Amen. May be seated. So we're on our fifth image on who Jesus is according to John. And so we've looked at Jesus as the Word of God, as the light of the world, as the bread of life, and as the Lamb of God. And today we will look at Jesus as the door of the sheepfold. The door. So we're back at agrarian metaphors. I mean, 3 Sundays ago, Lynn talked about Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away every obstacle between us and God. And now here we hear Jesus saying he is the door. But not just any door. Particularly, it's a door of a sheepfold. Now, here's a question for us city folks. It's a serious one. What is a sheepfold? What is a sheepfold? It's an open-air enclosure for sheep to gather and to rest. The fold is meant to protect and corral sheep into one place. The walls are usually 6 feet high, and the walls are solid, made out of wooden fencing or piles of rock. And often there's only one access point into it and out of it. Now imagine that just behind me is an enclosure made by the communion rails. You can imagine it being like a small sheepfold, except the rails are 6 feet high and more solid, and you could fit several sheep inside. And there's only one way in, one way out, and that's through the front. So you could imagine that being a sheepfold right here. Our passage from John, the first 5 verses, at least, it reads like Shepherding 101, Cole's notes on how to herd sheep. I mean, back then in a sizable village or town, somehow households owned sheep and goats as investment property. And so just like how we have garages for our cars, families would have sheepfold in their backyard. So in the morning, the youngest children of the family who are old enough would take the sheep out to the fields. But sometimes some households don't have people who have the time, the desire, the ability to herd the sheep. And so they end up hiring town shepherds. There are these town shepherds. They go around town, go from house to house of their clientele, pick up the sheep, and lead them out to the fields. That's during the day. And they, at the end of the day, they would return back from the fields into town and return them to the homes of their families. So in a way, town shepherds are like dog walkers of the village. Now, besides town shepherds, our gatekeepers. Gatekeepers are hired to tend the sheepfold in the backyard. See, when the shepherd comes for the pickup, these gatekeepers would open the sheepfold gate only to the shepherds that they recognize, that they know that the families have hired. So in these first 5 verses from John, Jesus was describing a typical town scene when the shepherd goes around town, going from house to house, picks up the sheep from people's backyards, and then the gatekeeper opens the gate to the shepherds they recognize. So that's the scene. Now, why was Jesus going on and on about an ordinary village scene that people are familiar with? Seems pretty random, but not really. And the people wondered about that. And then we wonder about that ourselves. We read in verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. That's classic Jesus, right? Another parable. What's going on here? What are you saying, Jesus? Now, what had happened before this was Jesus had just opened the eyes of a man who was born blind. That was in chapter 9. And when people got word of it, they brought the man to the religious authorities. Now, during the interrogation, the religious leaders wanted to dig up dirt to accuse Jesus of wrongdoing. He healed the guy on the Sabbath. He broke the Sabbath. But in the end, the man born blind stood up for Jesus. He ended up scolding his interrogators for being petty. And that got him expelled from his faith community. He was excommunicated. Now, as far as the religious leaders are concerned, this man, born blind, who just got healed, is a moral degenerate. He's a moral degenerate. He was born blind. cursed by God. He and his parents must be evil and immoral to have deserved this. And he's become a traitor now to the Jewish faith. He is now in with this Jesus guy who is a Sabbath breaker. He turned his back on us. He's betrayed Moses. He should be kicked out. And anyone who's following Jesus is an enemy of God. He's an enemy of Moses. We are in, and they are out. That's what the religious leaders were feeling. That's what they thought. Knowing what had happened, Jesus looked for the man he had healed and found him. And then Jesus, upon seeing him, he revealed himself to him as the Messiah. Now, he did that explicitly. Nowhere else did Jesus do this to clearly say that he's the Messiah, except to the Samaritan woman in chapter 4. So that this is a big deal. The man ended up believing Jesus' words. He came to faith in him. At the same time, some religious leaders are around stalking Jesus, observing him, and then Jesus took the opportunity. He turns to them, then calls them out on their abuse, on their negligence, on their recklessness as spiritual leaders. The religious leaders had just expelled a man healed from congenital blindness just because he didn't play along with their agenda. That was, in fact, symptomatic of their being drunk with power and intoxicated with religious prejudice. They were chronically oppressing the people that they were supposed to shepherd into the life and laws of God. Anyone who did not conform to their version of a religious life or a religious conformity were shamed and ostracized. And then Jesus calls them out and indicts them of being the ones who were truly, truly blind. And this is where Jesus makes his audacious claim. This is where he makes this incredible claim. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." What was Jesus saying here? What is he trying to say here? Because this particular conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders was about the classic prejudicial who is in and who is out dichotomy that often happens in religious discourse. That's often what happens. Who is truly the people of God, we wonder? Who is inside the fold of God? Who is outside the fold of God? Who's right? Who's wrong? That's usually what dialogue in these heated debates end up turning into. Who is right? Who is wrong? Who is in? Who is out? That was the issue at hand. And then Jesus doubles down on the issue. Do you really obsess on who is in and who is out? So concerned about who belongs and who doesn't? Let me tell you this. I am what separates in from out. How you deal with me determines whether you're in or out. I am the door of the sheepfold, the only access into God's life. I make the difference whether you're in or out of God's fold. Now that is an audacious claim. That's a big claim. Notice that Jesus did not deny or dismantle the reality of there being an in and an out. There is indeed such a thing and a real difference between in or out, just as there is a real difference between life and death, between flourishing and languishing, between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong. See, for the religious leaders, being in or out or being accepted by God or not was about religious behavior, was about religious conformity. It was about how well or how poorly you performed. But for Jesus, being in or out was about how you related to him. It was about what your relationship is with Jesus. He is the hinge point. That was his claim. We read in verse 8 and 9, Jesus said, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now, before we go any further, the thieves and robbers that Jesus mentioned here, he was referring to the would-be messiahs. who came to the scene before Jesus' time. They were self-proclaimed saviors of Israel who revolted against the Roman occupiers. See, they gathered bands of revolutionaries around them, and ultimately they failed. They failed, and they got ultimately squashed. Jesus was saying that they were not the true savior of God's people. They were not the shepherd of Israel. If they were true shepherds, they would not have gotten their sheep slaughtered and killed because of personal ideology. They were thieves and robbers. And so in verse 9, Jesus goes on to say that it's only by entering by him, by passing through him, literally, one can be saved and they can go in and out and find pasture. Now, what does he mean by that, this metaphorical shepherding scene? This is where we will linger till the end of our reflections today. So back in town, I just described, there's these backyard sheepfolds back at home. But out in the fields, there are these countryside sheepfolds that are set up all over for rest stops and emergency situations for sheep. Now, how the sheep go inside is that the shepherd would stand at the entrance of the sheepfold like a bouncer of a club. The shepherd would yell out, call out to their sheep. The sheep would recognize the voice. The shepherd would stand at the entrance. He'd make each sheep pass by them, and he IDs them, so to speak. And so once the whole flock is inside, the shepherd would sit at the opening, this narrow opening. He would sit there and block the entrance. No one could go in or out without the shepherd's permission or with the shepherd's recognizing the person or the thing. What Jesus is saying here is that you have to go by me. You have to come through me. I need to recognize you before you could get inside God's fold. That is to say, as a shepherd intimately knows each of their sheep, we must have a close relationship with Jesus before getting in. Sure, you could get inside the fold in a variety of ways, right? You could climb over the wall. You could dig underneath. You could parachute over the sky. But you never went in through the door, vetted and recognized by the shepherd. You're not part of the flock. You're a trespasser. You could show up to church and not miss a Sunday and never go through the door. You can be in youth group and have a great time, have great friends, and never go through the door. You can read the Bible every day, attend small group every week, go to mission trips, give your money to church, all of these things, religious things, and never go through the door. You can cast out evil spirits in the name of Jesus, overturn empires, overturn dictatorships, do works of power and miracles in Jesus' name, and never go through the door. Do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you? Do you love him? Not for what you can do for him, not for what he can do for you, not even for what he did for you or what he promised to do for you. Even all of these are fantastic reasons to love him. We should love him for all these things. But do you love him for who he is, for who he claims to be, not for what he can do for you, what you can do for him? Do you love him for who he said he is? I am the door. Whoever enters by me, goes through me, will be saved. They will be saved. Now, what does that phrase mean? They will be saved. Now, in our context, to be saved means to be kept safe. To be kept safe. While out in the fields, sheep need shelter and protection from the dangers of the countryside, danger from thieves, danger from predators, danger from storms. See, the fold provides security and safety. Now, this does not mean that the sheep are out of the woods. They're still far from home. They're not back from the excursion. They're not yet free from danger. But with all of that around them, they're kept safe. They will not be stolen away. They will not get killed. Yes, they can wander away. They can get lost. But the fold is nearby. The shepherd is close by, keeping watch, keeping track. As Christians, we can get scraped up, cut up, bruised, and beaten up around as we pass through the valleys of our lives. But we get patched up again because Jesus is always close by. He will tend to our wounds. He will heal what hurts, what pains us. But deep cuts may leave scars. They may not fully heal. We may still feel the pain of what we went through. But we can go on. We can keep moving. We can limp our way back if need be. But Jesus is always close by, and he can carry us on his shoulders, and he brings us home. We will be saved. We will get home. I am the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Going in, going out, finding green grass. We will end on this last reflection. Now, going in and out to find pasture means perfect freedom. Perfect freedom. There's a collect in the Book of Common Prayer, the BCP, called the Collect of Peace. We pray it every morning prayer on the fifth Sunday here in Little Trinity. And in the prayer, it addresses God as the author of peace, the lover of goodwill, in knowledge of whom stands eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, blissful liberty. Now, with the sheepfold nearby, sheep are free to go in and out as they please. With the shepherd around, they can take a stroll and not get lost. They can wander and not be forgotten. There is only pasture and the green grass to mind, to be preoccupied with. Now, being in relationship with Jesus means being loosed to graze on the goodness of God's creation. We are released to enjoy and to share in every good and perfect gift that comes from God. Now, that doesn't mean indulging in everything or obsessing in all the things. It's not an all-you-can-eat-before-you-pass-out sort of deal. It's about having everything that you'll ever need. It's having everything that God has given to each one of us in every season of life. Highs and lows, valleys and mountaintops, pastures, death valleys. We have everything that we'll need. Perfect freedom is the difference between letting your small children run around in the meadow behind your house versus losing them at the Eaton Center while shopping on Boxing Day. It's the difference when you get caught in a storm in the middle of the ocean while you're on a kayak versus while you're inside a luxury cruise line. It's the difference between clinging on to hope versus falling into despair as we go through grief, as we're overwhelmed by anguish, as we are encircled by the forces of evil and darkness that seek to destroy each one of us. Yes, we all lose our bearings. We can get lost at times. But if we took the time to look around, if we took the time to pay attention, we can see the sheepfold out in the distance. It's right there. And we will know where we are. The fold is nearby. Jesus is close by. We must face all kinds of storms, and they do come. But when they do come, we can go inside the fold. We can take shelter. And then once it's all over, we can go back out. The fold is nearby. Jesus is close by. We're often engulfed by the misery of life. We can get surrounded and submerged in the evil and hatred and gloom of our world. But the fold is nearby. Jesus is close by. I am the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved. Whoever passes through me will go in and out and find pasture. Come by Jesus. Come through Jesus. Come into God's fold. Because in him is our salvation. In him is perfect freedom. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.